it off. Sutter is up with it there. Right around in front. Score!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Leading goal scorer on the team. Drew one in front. Score!
It's the TC Martin Show.
A tie game on the power play. Hodgson was at the front of the net. They are even.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor.
A power play goal by the captain.
T.C. Martin.
It's brushed on back by Richard Puck. Chubb right up front. Yager fed inside of the net. Score! Giroux!
The doctor is now in.
Terrible Tuesday it is. That's right. Glad to have you with us. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. T.C. Martin Show, of course, streaming live. TCMartinShow.com and our LV Sports Network. Yes, it is our day to vent our frustrations, our day also to get hyped up for tonight's game, T-Mobile Arena, the fortress, if you'd like to call it, 18,461 fans. You want the over or the under tonight as far as that attendance figure? 18,461. Under or over?
Under. Barely under.
You know where I came up with that number, don't
that
you?
That was the attendance on Sunday night?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to go under, barely.
What? Are you not going to show up?
No, I'll be there. I think it's going to be about 18-3.
18-3?
18-3.
Really? Now, yes. Why would it not be packed to capacity?
Because it's a Tuesday night. Actually, yeah, you know what?
Come on.
It is spring break, so the kiddies don't have school tomorrow.
This is game number four, man.
Well, I think part of the reason it will be lower is the Golden Knights are guaranteed to play at least one more home game at T-Mobile Arena tonight or this season. Assuming they close out the Sharks and they're guaranteed at least two home games. So I think fans may be saving their money for a playoff game further down the road, which is why I think it will be a little bit lower tonight.
I've got a good feeling this is the last home game of this series.
You know, I know a couple people who feel that way too.
I mean, if you're really looking at what we've seen over the last two games, you look at the Thornton suspension, you look at the injuries that the Sharks have, the momentum the Golden Knights have, the way they're playing right now, it's really hard to fathom them losing tonight. $1.70 favorite, by the way. That's how much of a heavy favorite they are. They're a $1.50 favorite on Sunday. Now, of course, going back to San Jose, backs to the wall, that sort of thing. But still, I mean, they've proven they can win in that building. So, you know, to me, just the way things are looking, and we know everything can change in a heartbeat, but they just don't have the personnel to do it, to me.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I thought in game one, I kind of said it. I don't know if San Jose, I think I actually was on the air with you when I said it too. I don't know if San Jose could play any better than they did in game one. If they're going to win this series, they're going to have to play the next three, four games better than they did in game one. And I just don't know with the injuries that they've sustained, the suspension of Joe Thornton, if it's possible. I could see the Golden Knights winning this game tonight pretty big. I could also see San Jose keeping it close and somehow squeaking out a victory. They did the same thing last year in the second game at T-Mobile. It was game two of the series. Evander Kane was suspended. Joe Thornton did not play in that game either.
Right, correct.
They didn't have Erik Karlsson, and they still found the way to win that game. These two teams are completely different, though. The Golden Knights team last year versus this year, it's completely different. I think they're a lot better this year than they were last year, which is scary to think. When I talked to Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who was a captain of the Arizona Coyotes, he said Vegas is better this year than they were last year. So I think I could see Vegas winning this game, and you might be right. This could be the last game in T-Mobile in this series, because if Vegas wins tonight, I could very easily see them winning on Thursday night and closing the series
out. You can make the argument from a talent perspective they are a better team than last year, but we have seen the record not be as good this year. We're seeing the elongated losing streaks that we had this year, the way they closed the season. We've talked about that time and time again over the last 3 weeks. But for me, I'll just go back to a matchup situation. Playoff series are about matchups, and they just match up very well with the Sharks. They have their number. Now, going forward to the next series, whether it's Calgary, whoever it is, down the road, then different story. I wouldn't be as high on the Golden Knights as I am in this particular series. I just think this is a huge matchup. It was going into it for them, but even more so now because of the injuries that San Jose has.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all kind of felt, I don't really think we were making a revelation when we were going to make the comment that Marc-Andre Fleury is a better goalie than Martin Jones. Vegas is better 5-on-5. However, where Vegas isn't better is 4-on-4, 3-on-3, and 4-on-5. Although the PK has been pretty good for the Golden Knights after that game one, I think, you know, it's a situation where if Vegas can stay out of the penalty box,
there it is.
They're a superior team, yeah. And I don't even really know if it's close at 5-on-5 because Vegas 5-on-5 has absolutely dominated this series. Sunday night, the line with Pacioretty, Stone, and Stastny, that's a big boy line. They showed up. Big-time players show up in big-time spots. Those guys did that. I don't think San Jose, matchup-wise, has anything even remotely close to what we've seen from that line from the Golden Knights.
Right.
And I don't even know if there's any team in the Western Conference that we've seen that has a line that can match up with those guys the way they're playing.
I believe the number is that line has scored 22 of the 35 points thus far in this series. That is astounding.
Well, that's why you brought them all here.
Absolutely.
You know, you trade for Pacioretty.
Yep.
You sign Stone, or you sign Stastny in the offseason. You trade for Stone. You really didn't give up a ton to get those guys. And the reality is, that's a line that can go out and win you a Stanley Cup.
Right.
You need a line like that.
Tonight, 7:30, face-off, pregame 7 o'clock with Frank and Ryan up in Hyde Lounge, T-Mobile Arena. And get there early tonight and enjoy. And also, you know, check out our thoughts also with the article, the blogs on the website, tcmartinshow.com. The big 7-footer, Big Bill Cartwright, is going to join us a little bit later on, so hang tight for that as we
talk.
You're
going to eat some crow, huh?
I'm probably going to take some bullets today with that, and not a better way to start off a terrible Tuesday.
It's Terrible Tuesday.
That's terrible.
Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to know what the hell he's smoking.
Something stinks in here.
That's terrible.
It's Terrible Tuesday. Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
Well, Magnum, I don't know what you were doing last night. If you were kicking back, getting cozy in your little slippers or whatever last night, and perusing through your television channels and watching.
Slippers.
Yeah, I don't know. You're watching your old world, old school television programs, or you're trying to find some old English soccer matches from 2004. But I'll tell you what I was doing. I was pretty cozy. I was kicking back last night, watching the Warriors and the Clippers game. Enjoying the game, thing of beauty, acting like I'm having a great time, tweeting out, making posts that Warriors are dominating, putting on a clinic is the term that I like to use and I used last night. Curry had 22 at halftime, 73 points at the half. They were ahead 73-50 at the half. That's it. I said, I've had enough. Third quarter, more of the same pretty much. So I said, that's it. Let me get caught up in some of my other TV, some of my HBO Showtime programs to get caught up on. That's what I'm going to do. So I watched a couple shows. Then I said, you know, I've had enough. Going to go to bed. Long day today. Get ready for the game tonight, right? I get a notification as I'm basically crawling into bed last night. I couldn't believe what I read. I was stunned, speechless, shocked. Warriors blow 31-point lead. Up 31 from when I last turned on the television midway through the third quarter. Like I said, 73 at halftime. Crushing them. And what happens? The Clippers score 85 in the second half. 85 from the Clippers, your 8 seed, in the second half. They outscore the Warriors by 27 points. This can't happen to the champs. It did happen to the champs. 22 turnovers by the Warriors. 9 of them by Kevin Durant. I just did not know how to react. It's one of those things where, like, when you lose a bet or something, or you're shell-shocked, and you're not even upset. You're not even mad. Normally, when I lose a bet or something, I want to break something. This, I was, like, numb. I didn't believe that it was true, so I immediately tried to throw on SportsCenter. They were talking baseball, showing a replay of the Mets-Phillies game. I don't know. So I go to NBA TV, and I'm watching the highlights, and I'm watching the press conference with Steph Curry. And I was just amazed on how this team, specifically this team, could blow a 31-point lead at home and what turned out to be the biggest loss in playoff history in the NBA as far as a team having a lead and then losing a playoff game.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people have really wondered if everything is perfect in Warrior Land. You know, there have been some grumblings and things that have come out. And, you know, this isn't the first time that they've played awful. Remember, they lost by, what, 37 points earlier in the year at home?
Yeah, but this is different, man.
Is it?
I'll tell you why.
You know, I think the problem is a lot of times you get these teams that think they could turn it off and turn it on like a switch. And I don't think it works that way. I don't, because the other team isn't turning it on and turning it off. You know, the Clippers have kind of been in playoff mode for a long time fighting for that playoff spot. They've had to fight and grind it out and find a way to get in. They're not going to quit. You know, they have a pretty decent team, and for Golden State to blow a 31-point lead, I mean, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be cover, and they'll end up winning the series. But, you know, this is part of the reason why I could care less about the NBA. It's like, until I get to the finals, there's really nothing about it that makes me interested. I don't like the fact that exactly what happened last night happened. I don't want to see a team blow a 31-point
lead. Here's the thing. In the regular season, I'm with you, and I've talked about that a lot, how this team goes through the motions. They get very careless with the basketball. They have gotten blown out during the regular season, granted. But watching game number one, the way that thing went down on Saturday night, just to see how they were just all in tune, firing on all cylinders, what Curry did with the 38 points and 14 rebounds, there's no way this team is going to turn into clunker in game two like we've seen, where a team dominates in game one and then game two they fall apart, and Brooklyn did that against Philly. They had the flip-flop there with that. But with the Warriors, the way they played in game number two, it was just more of the same. Like Steph Curry said, he goes, they played fantastic for 6.5 quarters of these first two games in Oakland. And there was nothing to show us that the Clippers were going to come back, especially after the way it was in the first half. 73, and then continuing on early on in the third quarter. But the Warriors, yes, they got careless. Careless with the basketball. They decided not to play defense, not to contest shots. And slowly but surely, the lead went down to 25. It went down to 18, went down to 12. Then went down to 9, and you're just like, can this really happen? Then all of a sudden went down to 4-3, boom, here we go. So yeah, and again, I didn't watch it, just the highlights, because the way they were dominating, it just blew me away. But yes, I think the Warriors are prone to this because they're careless with the basketball, winning back-to-back championships, trying to make the three-peat, all this kind of stuff, but they've got to come back now. And the DeMarcus Cousins thing, it's not going to hurt them. I actually think they're better without DeMarcus Cousins. You got less drama. You don't have to worry about him getting his shots and all that nonsense. So he's going to be out for a while. But yeah, it was crazy the way it happened in that environment, the way it happened last night after the way they dominated the Clippers, not just earlier in the game, but the way they dominated game one. I'm sure I will talk to Bill Cartwright about this.
You're gonna take it on the chin, man.
I probably am. All right, man. Chris Davis taking it on the chin, huh? Started the season 0-for-53. He singled in Saturday's at bat, where he actually went 3-for-5, 4 RBIs, had a single, drove in 2 runs, kind of got him off the schneid. Everyone's gave him a standing ovation in Baltimore, but think about that. 0-for-53 for Chris Davis. This is a guy that we have known been prone to strikeouts. It took this guy 15 games to get a hit. I want you to think about that. A major league ball player, a guy that plays every day, and they continued to keep him in the lineup and not bench him. 15 games to get your very first hit of the season. So after that 3-for-5 performance, you know what he did on Sunday?
He had another good game.
Nah, he went 0-for-4 on Sunday.
Okay.
He had a good game yesterday.
Okay. So
he hit a homer yesterday.
Maybe he's in the every other game mode now.
So with all that and his explosive homer that he hit yesterday, his batting average right now?
I'm going to guess 71.
71, exactly.
I nailed it.
Well, because you heard me say this yesterday.
No, I didn't. No.
We talked about this off the air. Remember I said I'm going to give you my fodder.
Yeah, but you never said what his batting average was.
0.71. I told you yesterday.
No, you didn't.
I told you yesterday.
No, you did not.
I'm telling you. That's why you came up with it.
No, it's not. I would have remembered if you told me.
Your memory is really bad. You know that?
No. Amnesia. Wait.
I told you yesterday.
So you're saying my memory is really bad.
Remember, we had a quiz during the break. I said, "What do you think he's batting now?" And you said, "So you said something like 93 or one." And I go, "No, I go 071."
So wait, you're telling me my memory is bad, but yet I remembered
because you got amnesia. You forgot that I told you yesterday.
No, I don't think that happened. I don't think that happened.
But that's okay. That's okay. But I did tell you.
I don't think we had that conversation.
Where were you yesterday? You were here.
I still don't think we had that conversation.
Man. Do you remember what you had for lunch yesterday?
Wait.
Thank you very much.
Oh, crap.
I rest my point.
I do. I had Wendy's for lunch.
Scratch yourself, please.
Yeah. I should scratch what I had for lunch yesterday,
too. Do you know Adam Jones?
Which one? Wait.
Yeah.
There's a couple.
Exactly.
Is it the Terrible Tuesday Mainstay Adam Jones, or are we talking the Arizona Diamondbacks Aaron Jones?
There you go. Adam Jones.
Not Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, just not that clown. Exactly.
The decent Adam Jones.
The former Baltimore Orioles / Arizona Diamondbacks.
/ Tacoma Rainier.
Yeah. Adam, not Pac-Man Jones. Do you know that he got a fan kicked out of Petco Park? Yes. Now playing for the D-backs. He's actually from San Diego, and they were playing in San Diego.
He's a really good player.
Yeah. Here's what his comment was. He goes, "These fans and sports, man, they're starting to get a little more brazen. I've said it many times, and obviously I've had altercations with fans. My biggest thing is keep the banter polite. We suck. I struck out. The team's not good. Keep it light. Keep it smart. There's kids in the stadium, but the second you start cussing at me like I'm a little kid, that's a no-no. On the street, they'd never do that stuff. In the ballpark, when you've paid your admission, there's no need for all that stuff. The second I hear somebody cussing us out, you're gone. I could care less that they're gone. That's how it is. I made a nice play, and just hearing the B word, the F word, that's not baseball talk. So he's gone." Yes, Adam Jones actually pointed the guy out to security, and they escorted him out. The players are now escorting fans out. Agree or disagree?
I'm in the middle on this one. Because I do think he raises a point, or a good point. Let's remember, Adam Jones was the center of racial abuse in Boston last year from a couple of scumbag Red Sox fans.
Correct. They were throwing peanuts at him.
Yeah, and they were saying a few other things that will not be repeated. But
racial taunts,
disgusting words.
Yep.
So I get what Adam Jones is saying. Look, he's right. I don't like taking my kid to a sporting event and hearing some jackass dropping F-bombs and cursing because he's had a few too many because he can't control his alcohol. You know what? I went to San Francisco last week, went to a game there. I heard nothing like that from San Francisco Giant fans toward the Rocky place. Granted, the game was not a very entertaining game from
Giants, Dodgers, you will, though, my friend.
Well,
I'm telling you.
Well, to be fair, at least Giant fans aren't beating the hell out of each other in the parking lot and sending guys to the hospital.
Right.
Like what goes on at Dodger Stadium. But
against a Giants fan,
yeah, which is right. Awful. It's baseball,
correct?
It's not. Look, there's not a lot of testosterone built up like in the NFL, or
but that shouldn't even be in the NFL.
No, it shouldn't. But
it is.
But it shouldn't happen in any sport, but especially baseball. But you know, the thing is, Adam Jones. Look, I get you don't like it, but the reality is, who were you to have a fan thrown out of the stadium for saying those things? If security wants to escort that guy out, or if another Padre fan wants to complain, that's one thing. But you as a player, you know, years ago I went to go see, do you remember the player Brett Butler?
Of course.
Played for the Giants. I think he played
Dodgers.
For a couple of Dodgers.
Yeah.
He was playing against the Phillies, and I was at this game at Veterans Stadium, and these people were all over Brett Butler. Steve Bono, former NFL quarterback, saw him play. These fans were all over. I couldn't imagine Steve Bono calling timeout in the huddle and walking over to NFL security and pointing to some guy who was telling him to go back to U2 because he didn't like the taunting.
Pride of UCLA, by the way.
Was he a UCLA guy?
Yeah.
Not from Dublin, Ireland?
Bono. Not that guy, exactly. Oh, yeah. It is crazy. But here's where the Adam Jones thing comes in. It's exactly what we talked about, where this is a carryover from what happened in Boston, his time with Baltimore. And yes, he's been cussed out a lot. But as a major leaguer, I'm sorry, you are held to a higher standard. You got to let it roll off. You have to let it roll off. Just like the NBA guys, NFL guys, let it roll off. You're going to get that. You are a target, okay? And if they're throwing peanuts or something like that, that's fine. Security will take care of its own measures. But just because a guy is dropping F-bombs or he's cussing you out, whatever, you don't need to point out and say, hey, you're gone. Players do not have the right or authority to kick fans out, especially if it's just verbal stuff, okay? You just got to take it. That's it. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. Okay, we have a new highest paid player in the National Football League today, as I know you're aware of.
Yes.
Russell Wilson in Seattle have reached an agreement on a four-year, $140 million extension that includes a $65 million signing bonus and makes Russell Wilson the highest paid player in the National Football League. He's locked up now to 2023. He now tops, and I'm kind of glad for this, Aaron Rodgers, averaging $35 million per season. Wilson's signing bonus also set a record as well, too. Now, Rodgers was first in both categories at $33.5 million and $57.5 million, respectively, on the extension that he signed back in last summer. So, there it is. Now, how long is this going to last? It's not going to last because there's going to be somebody else that comes up and is the next highest paid player. It just cracks me up that these guys can wear this badge of honor that I'm the highest paid player. Then how do you feel if you're Aaron Rodgers? Well, now I'm not that guy anymore. Yeah, you're getting paid. That's all you should be concerned with. But it's so out of control right now.
Well, yeah.
It's killing me.
The next guy up will probably be Pat Mahomes. But how...
And somebody after him and after him. It goes on and on.
And how Drew Brees or Tom Brady are not the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL still baffles me, because I think those are probably the two still best quarterbacks in the league.
Correct.
Now, Russell Wilson, look, the guy certainly should be paid like he's an elite quarterback, because he is. That being said, I don't know how much stock you really take in being the highest paid player. You know, as much as I despise the Patriots and Tom Brady, I've always respected the fact that Tom Brady gets it. Tom Brady, it doesn't matter to him if he's the highest paid or not. He wants to win. And this is one of the knocks I always had on Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was never willing to take a pay cut, despite all the crappy commercials he's making. Never willing to take a pay cut.
He doesn't have any crappy commercials. Those are
the
nice.
Nationwide,
those award-winning commercials.
The one he used to do for the TV where his forehead looks like the landing strip on
Papa John's. You like that one too?
Oh, that's terrible. Looks like Edwards Air Force Base could be built on his forehead. But I like that Brady has always said, you know what, I'd rather the team be able to put guys around me to help me win. Just today they signed Demaryius Thomas, who's coming off an injury, but still a good player. I don't get it. If you're a quarterback, you should want the protection in front of you.
Agreed.
To be better.
Agreed. All right. TV time!
Oh, I can't wait.
All right. So, did you see what happened on Sunday with the Masters?
Where they started at like 5 a.m. our time?
Exactly. So these guys teed off, the leaders, Tiger Woods and that final group, teed off at 8 o'clock in the morning.
It was Francesco Molinari and...
It blows me away. Never seen this happen before, the early start on the Sunday morning. So I really thought this thing was delayed on the West Coast. I really thought that I was going back to the 70s, watching the NBA, when they would take the NBA Finals and showcase that at 11:30 at night after your local news. I really thought that was the case, because never in my mind did I think that I was going to have to watch the final round of the Masters and get up at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning and to see it all done by noon. Never anticipated that, because, as you know, we always see that early afternoon time slot, and it ends about 3 or 4 p.m. on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I firmly thought that. So I'm out and about, and I'm in one of my fine establishments, and I'm looking at the TV screen on the crawl watching some NBA action, and it says Tiger Woods wins the Masters, and it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon at 13 under. I'm going, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean it's over? How could it possibly be over at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? I was blown away with this. I said, what did I miss here? So then I go back home, and I said, man, I missed it. I didn't get a chance to see Tiger. And I turn on my TV, and Tiger, this is like an hour and a half later, around 2:30, and he's on the 15th hole. I'm going, wait a minute. Did ESPN and everyone else just go ahead and put this out there, and we're actually seeing a tape delay? So upon further review, I find out, because getting ready for the story for today here, and I find out, no, CBS just replayed it again. So I guess they did show it live here on the West Coast.
Yes.
And what I saw in the afternoon was an actual replay. Why are we starting so early?
Well, I think they did it because they were anticipating bad weather in Augusta, GA.
Yeah.
So
I heard they
had to, I guess, get a jump start on it. But don't they normally do pairings, too, as opposed to threesome?
They went to exactly. Correctamundo. And then another thing I heard them say before the weather came involved here, that they didn't want to have a situation where Tiger, whoever wins, put on his green jacket and it's already dark like what happened last year.
Nah, who cares?
Exactly.
That's what you have light stanchions for and all that stuff.
Forget that. Yeah, so that bothered me. But here you go, my friend. The main event to the TV time.
Okay.
As I'm perusing my channels, it was back. They did it to us again. The Cornhole Championships.
Oh.
Yes, it's back. And this one comes to us from where, my friend?
Wisconsin.
Incorrect, but a Midwestern city.
A city. How about...
It was a city.
How about Des Moines?
No, a little bit bigger than that, but you're not far off.
Minneapolis.
St. Louis.
Ugh, what an awful place. So,
this one was titled, are you ready for this? Cornhole Mania from St. Louis. Now, you know how you have the description on the TV where you press the info button and it tells you what, you know, what you're watching and, you know, a little bit more info? You ever go with that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So under the category, I cannot make this up. It said Cornhole Mania, the Cornhole Championships, and the description was Extreme Sports.
Wait, what?
It said Extreme Sports. No, not X Games, not even the Roller Derby. No, not ice hockey. Not, I don't know what. How is Cornhole an extreme sport? Please explain this to me.
There's nothing extreme about Cornhole. I think bowling is more extreme than cornhole because there's a little more body movement, I would imagine, in bowling than cornhole.
Especially when I tell you the competitors, what I was watching with these very eyes, my friend, taking up a Sunday afternoon, women's doubles. Both of these ladies, I'm not kidding. Okay, it said on here, I'm not embellishing this, they each were 54 years old. These old ladies are firing away these beanbags.
They're younger than you. What are you talking about, old ladies?
Wait, what are you talking about now? Come on, don't put me in that category. But here's the thing. I will give them credit. They didn't miss. These ladies, these old bags are throwing their beanbag. It went in the hole every time. I was blown away that how good these were. It was unbelievable. They didn't miss. Everything went in the hole, the ricochet off or whatever, trick shots and all this stuff.
Well, they better not miss. You get paid to throw a beanbag in a
really
hole.
Are they really getting paid, though, or are they just getting free beer at the bar in St. Louis?
Well, you know what? If I'm in St. Louis, I want a free dinner at Charlie Gito's because that's a fantastic restaurant in St. Louis.
But here's what the announcer said. Are you ready for this? I wish I would have recorded this. Here's the quote. Cornhole creates incredible tense situations.
Oh, boy.
With a thrilling payoff. This is what he said.
I wish Jim Nance was relegated to cornhole. I think that's a good spot for him.
Yes, the cornhole.
He can bring out the pom-poms for the cornhole championship.
Incredible tense situations. Is Tiger going to join us on cornhole? A thrilling payoff at the end. What if cornhole has a green jacket? If the Masters has a green jacket, what would cornhole be?
Cornhole should have a green jacket.
What should it have?
Maybe a yellow jacket.
I was going to say the red thing that you race in the county fair days or whatever with the potato sack race. You take the potato sack thing that you put your feet in, you jump all over the place. That should be your crowning jacket for cornhole.
But it's a potato sack, not a corn sack.
Same difference, isn't it?
Not really.
It's an extreme sport, by the way.
Potato sack racing?
So
is the Soapbox Derby.
There's your terrible Tuesday. That's all I got, man.
That's all you got.
That's TV time is just killing me.
I love it.
How does this get on television? How does this get on my screen?
By the way,
every week there's something that's nonsensical. It's on my screen.
It's unbelievably quick, but a quick terrible Tuesday. Did you happen to see the Giants-Rockies game on Friday night?
Not the one you were at. After the 1-0 boredom game.
No. I wish I would have gone to Friday night's game because it was an 18 inning affair.
Yes.
But, you know, they hang the little K for strikeouts.
Yes.
The Rockies struck out so many times that the Giants fans ran out of K's to hang on the wall in the outfield. You know how many strikeouts they had in the game?
How many?
24. four.
I was going to say, because I've seen some high strikeout games with Lincecum back there. And I've seen probably at least 16, 17 Ks, something like that up there.
I mean, 24 strikeouts.
Wow.
And it got to the point where the fans were lining up, making a K with their body when the Giants pitchers were getting strikeouts.
Can you imagine if you incorporated the Giants hitters as part of that as well, too, my friend?
Oh, my God.
This is a bad baseball team.
You're averaging 12 strikeouts for nine innings if you're the Rockies that night. You basically played two games and struck out 12 times a game.
All right, you got Terrible Tuesdays. You can always hit us on Twitter at TCMartin21, also Fox Sports LV. The big seven-footer joins us next. All right, the big seven-footer gallivanting around the country. I think the current stop is somewhere in Chicago. Wow. Cannot believe you were not in Oakland last night seeing the Warriors and the Clippers in that miraculous comeback by the Clippers. What's up, seven-footer? What's going on?
Well, I think we should set the table for what really happened yesterday.
Okay.
As you called me up, bragging, boasting, going on and on about the Warriors, how dominant the team they are, how dominant Steph Curry is, going on, and I am listening to you, only to find out the Warriors blew, it's got to be a record somewhere, 31-point lead, and get beat by the Clippers. Now that's the kind of stuff that, Chris, that I get. I get it. I'm relaxing. Here he comes. Talking about the Warriors, and they get beat. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any explanation for that? For that loss last night? Do you have any explanation?
Yeah, I do have an explanation. Again, as I don't know if you know or not, but yeah, when I was talking to you at halftime, I was very cocky, thinking this game is over, what Curry did in that game in the first half, exactly what he did in game number one, just phenomenal. Yeah, I thought it was over. That's why I gave up on the game. I turned it off. I had no idea they lost until 2 hours later, but the reason why they lost is because, and we've seen this before, they got careless with the basketball. They decided to quit playing defense.
God.
No. Bill, they had 31
points. 31 points.
Here's what they had. I know it's insane. 22 turnovers.
Aren't these the champs?
That's my point. Just said that 15 minutes ago. That's why I'm blown away. I was shocked. They're the champs. How can that happen to the champs? How can it happen on their home floor? But 22 turnovers, 9 by Durant. They were sloppy. They were careless. They mailed it in. And that's what I want to ask you. How much of this has got to be on Steve Kerr? How much of this has got to be on a coach? Because when this thing starts dwindling midway through the third period, you only have about 18 minutes of basketball left, and it goes from 31 to 25 to 16 to 12 to 6 to where you lose the lead. How much of that is got to be on coaching, right? At some point.
So basically, your team, Steph Curry, greatest player, all this garbage I have to hear. You have no explanation, so maybe I can help you.
Please do. I was stunned. I'm still shocked. I don't know. It's impossible how something like that could happen with the champs on their home floor.
Well, look, the Warriors are a vulnerable team. They're not indestructible. You know, the Warriors have weaknesses that, if exploited, you can space them out. You can attack the basket against them. You can offensive rebound that team. Once you get them into the half court, they can still shoot the ball, but they are a transition basketball team. When they get in transition, they come at you in a wave. They're very difficult to beat, but if you attack them, put them back on their heels, you stand a much better chance of beating them. And look, these guys are vulnerable defensively. Durant fouled out. Curry is a small defender. He's scrappy. But look, that team is very vulnerable. Look, and let's be clear. they were almost beat last year in the playoffs. So let's not assume and just crown them. You want to clown them. So this is a great lesson for everybody.
No, you're right. You are right. You're 100% right. And I love watching this team. I love watching Curry. I love the way they share the ball, and I've always said that. But they drive me nuts as well because they are so careless with the basketball, and they just don't. They think that they can turn it on and turn it off at any point in time. And last night it was just insane. And I didn't watch the fourth quarter, so I don't know exactly what happened. But I could only imagine, just reading that, seeing the highlights and reading the stats, that the Clippers shot an incredible percentage from the outside, especially from three, and they did pretty much what they want. But yeah, the Warriors quit. They turned it off. Whatever it is, embarrassing. Totally embarrassing. Let me ask you, did that, as a player for you, did... Yeah, I'm sure the Bulls never probably blew a lead like that or have a comeback. Did you experience anything close to what happened last night in your career at any time?
Never. Not that big of a lead. Hey, look, it's possible. You're almost better off not getting up that big early, because it gives your opposition that much longer to come back. But the main thing... is that, look, going into the playoffs, you want to be playing good basketball. You want to be healthy, and you want to have a strong contribution from your bench. So, to me, when the Warriors go to the bench, they're vulnerable. They're very vulnerable. If the Warriors are in foul trouble, they're vulnerable. If the Warriors aren't shooting the basketball well, they're vulnerable. Look, they're the best shooting team on the planet. That's why the Warriors win. So, another thing that you should be, a Warriors fan should be a little concerned about, is that Kevin Durant is not the guy he was last year. What is up with all these technicals? What is up with all this volatile play? What is up with the fact when he gets fouled, he's bumped, he's protesting a foul like every possession? What is up with that? As a Warriors fan, you want to explain that to me?
Well, I think that Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins are rubbing off on him a little bit too, and I think a lot of it is the frustration. He's letting the outside talk get to him about, you know, people kind of giving him a bad time, talking about the free agency, already thinking that he's going to be gone after this season. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But, I watched the whole... game one with Beverly in his grill and this and that. I really didn't blame Durant too much for that, because Beverly was really getting physical with him. Beverly was talking trash. They were going at each other, and that was a goofy ejection for both those guys in game number one. But, yeah, he has more technical fouls this year. He apologized to his team at practice the day before. So, I don't know. Yeah, I just think that just a lot of the nonsense and the talk is getting to him. But you're right. You got to be bigger than that. And that's always bothered me about Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins as well, too. Just it's infuriating. Just like I'm sure that, you know, you had to deal with that with Dennis Rodman as well, too. Gets a little nonsense.
Well, look, Kevin Durant is not those two guys. Kevin Durant should be so far above that. And what else is those guys got to do? You got to do whatever you got to do to stop this guy. This guy's an amazing player. He doesn't. He's a tough matchup for everybody. So he should expect to get hit. He should expect to get bumped. He should expect to get twisted. That's what you got to do. The guy is impossible to stop. What does he expect Beverly to do? Just let him do what he wants to do.
No, you're right,
I would
man.
Do that. I would do that too. And anybody who would want to get him off his game would want to do it. I'm just saying that he should be for who he is, you know, which is, you know, five top best players in the league. He should be so far above that should not even be a concern now.
I agree with you. No, it's got to be better than that. You know, no doubt about it. Bill Cartwright joined us. All right, hey, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about Luke Walton to Sacramento. The guy was out of a job less than 48 hours, let go by the Lakers. Sacramento, Vlade Divac, he wanted Luke Walton. He's got him now. As we know, it's been 13 long years where the Kings have, you know, been in the playoffs. It's been embarrassing. Luke Walton, a guy that is 50 games below 500 as a coach, what's the attraction there for Sacramento?
Well, look, that Sacramento thing is really confusing. I think you and I talked about them before the season, and they were not expected to win 30 games this year. That coaching staff was awesome this year. I thought those young guys got better. They gave themselves until the end of the year an opportunity to get in the playoffs. But nobody, and I mean nobody, expected that team to have as good of a year as they had. And it was let go at the end of the year. That's the confusing part. Along with the fact of what you just said and the fact that they wanted to hire Luke Walton. So it's very, very confusing. But you see the ties with that is that that owner was a minority owner with the Warriors, so he wants that style of basketball, which is another thing that's confusing, considering that they don't have the Warriors players. So, to me, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not going to bash Luke. I am a coach. We'll give him a chance. We'll give him a chance to see what happens over there. I thought the unfair thing was is that that coaching staff that was over there with Yeager, those guys did a great job bringing that group along. Yeah. So that's the sad part.
Yeah, they did a great job, but apparently from the inside we hear that there was some controversies there with Yeager and some of the players. We know that.
And
with Vlade, that wasn't Vlade's guy.
However you want to slice it.
I'm just telling you, that's what people in Sacramento told me. Yeah,
is a bunch of garbage. You know, if you want to fire the guy, just say fire the guy. Don't be throwing all this other garbage in there of, oh, he didn't, he's arguing with the players, they didn't disagree. Who agrees? If you have coaches who are agreeing with you, you're not getting anything done. The bottom line is that those guys exceeded expectations, and they should be rewarded for that and not fired for it.
No, I agree. But you know how it is. When a president or a GM doesn't have his guy, when a coach is forced upon him, he wants to have his own guy. So you hit the nail on the head, too, about that relationship with the ownership and with the Warriors and Walton being there, an assistant under Kerr for those years. And Vlade likes Walton as well, too. So he got a chance to say, hey, this is my guy. Let my guy run the show now. I don't want to be stuck with the other guy who wasn't my first choice. So, yeah, it's crazy. You know how it is, man. This is business, and we have that all the time. All right, man. Give me real quick, where are you eating tonight in Chicago?
I am actually going to eat. I'm going to go, and I think I'm going to go have dinner at a diner. Tonight, classic diner out here at Ballantyne.
Beautiful. Take some pictures now. I want some pictures.
Yeah, we know, but my wife says that's weird. I'm taking pictures of my food, so I'm not sure I can get away with it.
Who's running the show? You or the wife? How many championship rings does the wife have? Come on, you tell her it's for me. She's going to be fine. Let her get up and go to the restroom, go to the bar, get something to drink. Say, I got to take these pictures for TC. She'll firmly understand that. She'll understand.
Well, look, this summer is going to be year number 40, all right? So for me and you, I run the show. But for the rest of the world, she runs the show.
Right on, man.
That's how you do that.
All right, man. Enjoy yourself. And I can hardly wait to see the diner pictures, no doubt.
You got to do it.
Take care, man. There it is. Big Bill Cartwright in Chicago talking about the Warriors, talking about Luke Walton. All right, VGK, tonight, do they go up 3-1 against San Jose? We'll give you our thoughts when we come back. Get on over to one of the fantastic CG Technology Sportsbooks. Get the mobile app. Bet before you go watch the Golden Knights tonight, or actually, while you're in the arena, you can do that. Get signed up at any of the great books over there at the M Resort, the Silverton, the Venetian Plaza, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, the Silverton, and the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. The CG Technology mobile app, it's betting made easy. VGK, San Jose, game number 4 tonight, 7:30. Face-off, pregame right here, 7 o'clock. Frank Ryan, intermission reports, post-game report, all of it right here. Your home of the Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio. Final score prediction, Magnum, tonight. Give it to me.
5-3 Golden Knights.
5-3 Golden Knights. Another over. Every game in the series, over. Yeah, I got to feel you, man, that a lot of goals are going to be scored again tonight. All right, we'll see if the Golden Knights can get it done. But if they don't, 2-2, then the series takes a different little tone back to San Jose for game number 5. All right, I want to thank Bill Cartwright for joining us. The Terrible Tuesday Thoughts. We're back at it again tomorrow. We'll recap what we saw take place tonight in T-Mobile Arena. So we'll talk Golden Knights tomorrow and a whole lot more coming your way on the program tomorrow. If you miss any part of the show, you know where to go, tcmartinshow.com. Have yourself a good one. Enjoy the hockey right here tonight on Fox.